Denny, it's sort of been surreal in here this week, talking about things that are about to happen on the field Thursday night. I bet you can't wait either. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. And it's good to hear you all back together again. You're sounding terrific. And who's come out of isolation best? I heard Laurie's looking a million bucks.
Yeah, he has trimmed down.
He was telling us about all this bread he was eating. He's lost weight.
Oh, mate, he's an athlete.
Yeah, he still is.
An athlete, always an athlete.
Oh, exactly right, Denny.
Disguised fitness somewhere. I don't know how. I don't know what's going on in that house, but there's been some disguised fitness.
Tell you what. Backwards up hills, is it all downhill?
That is the secret, Denny.
It's amazing what can happen when a husband and wife are under the same roof 24-7, Denny.
A lot of things can happen.
Lozzie got a six-pack, put it that way.
Stop being jealous.
I know. Denny, do you think we'll see crowds?
Look, I had a chat to Peter Volandis yesterday, and I have to say, for the first time since all this has been going on, he actually looked physically gone. He looks tired. He has worked himself into the ground. And he looks like he needs a good long rest, but he's determined to get the crowds back. And it's interesting, he said to us yesterday that people who want to go to the football are going to have their temperature checked before they get into the grounds. And also they're going to have the app that everybody should have anyway, but they have to have that as well. So he's saying that fans may only have to sit 1 seat apart for games, and he's, you know, when he says things are going to happen, they usually happen. So even though he's willing, he's having to take the government on again, he said he doesn't care. He said he's, he's used to sort of being a thorn in their side, and it's better to make plans than not have plans, and that's been his philosophy all the way through. And I'm still stunned that, we're going to have crowds, but more stunned than that is we're going to have football. It sort of blows my mind that, you know, a couple of months ago, we were talking about real doom and gloom, and now we're going to see players back on the field, and we're even talking about football stories, and, you know, people are getting angry at each other's clubs again. It's terrific.
Yeah, well, one thing's for sure, if he does take a break, he deserves it. He's earned the right, that's for sure, Peter Volandis. And I caught a bit of that interview, Denny, that you did with him. And what was your take on his Latrell Mitchell comments, and how do you think that's going to be taken in the public?
Really interesting. So he caught up with Latrell and a range of Indigenous players during summertime, and he had a good chat to Latrell, and he's firmly in his corner. He thinks he's surprised that Latrell is still standing as a player and as a person after the scrutiny he's been under and the attacks he's had to cop. And he said, we forget that he's only 22 and we really have to cut him some slack. But he is he's massively in Mitchell's corner. I don't know whether that'll please all the fans out there or, you know, the people who like to rip into Latrell. But to have the support of the biggest figure or the most powerful man in rugby league, which is Peter Volandis, to have his support is a big plus for Latrell. And, you know, Latrell has done some silly things in the break that we had, but Volandis is still sticking by him. And he probably knows he's such an attraction, and, you know, the game this week is so massive, and the focus will be on Latrell. I mean, as far as I know, we haven't really heard Latrell speak for a long time. I remember him speaking, Laurie, during the Indigenous All Stars. He spoke briefly at a media conference outside the team hotel, but apart from that, he has done, you know, stuff all media. He's instead been spoken about. And I don't know whether that's a good tactic or a bad tactic, whether he's trying to distance himself from the media and not tell his side of the story because he's just so frustrated, or whether he should be getting out there like a number of players have done recently and get on the front foot and tackle things and speak to the issues that are in front of him. And I think, personally, I think it's always better to talk about things that are going on so he can control the story a little bit instead of being controlled for him. And we get dealt a lot of half-truths, mistruths, because you can't always get to the man himself.
No, and that's a fair point too. It's always good getting on the front foot and making sure that people hear your side of the story rather than what people want to hear or think they have heard. Talking of that, what have you made of this John Bateman story?
Look, it's an interesting one on a lot of levels. Ultimately, I think that John Bateman, it looks like he won't be at Canberra next year. That seems to be the message coming out of the Raiders. They believe that. They believe he won't be there. And the Bulldogs are continually the club that are linked to him. There's obviously a tie-up between Ricky Stewart and Dean Pay, and Dean Pay would speak to Ricky Stewart, I have no doubt, and say, listen, we're very interested in this player. He wouldn't have to ask his permission, but he wouldn't also want to put Ricky terribly offside if he was to sign him. John Bateman is entitled to, under his contract, to talk to other clubs. And he's also entitled to make a living because, you know, I don't know what other trade he has. I don't know what else he can do in his life apart from play football. He's got a young family, so he's got to make money. I don't think it's been handled well at all. But I think the Raiders have been very careful in what they're doing. I've been trying to figure out why they've been quite passive in the whole situation. And I only can think that they're worried that if they upset John Bateman, there are a number of other Englishmen who are on contract at that club, and maybe they don't want to get the whole group offside. I could only think that that is the reasoning behind that, because the Raiders have been very reasonable. They haven't played hardball. They could say, well, no, you're not going anywhere. You're going to see your contract out. Stuff you. But instead, they've been quite reasonable about the whole negotiation, which has been handled poorly, I think, on Bateman's behalf. But I can't begrudge him wanting to get a bigger contract. And I think that if he got $800,000 a year, he should sign it straight away, because that is very good money for him. He's a good player, a very good player, but I think he's a very good player for Canberra. I don't know if he'd be the same player necessarily at another club, and that's not being critical of him. He's a unique style of player. He reminds me a little bit of Anthony Watmo in the way he plays, and he fits very well with the Raiders. And sometimes, I think you were saying earlier, certain players fit certain clubs, and he fits the Raiders really well.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, Denny. I think he's a very good player, but I think he just suits the style that the Raiders are looking for. I'm unsure if he goes to the Bulldogs, if they pay him that amount of money, whether they will get that value thereafter.
Is he an out-and-out match winner?
No.
He's not a David Fifita. He's not a Payne Haas. He's not a Tamalolo. I mean, he's not one of those sort of players. He's a very good team player, though, and he's a tough bugger. And he's great to watch, and he's got skill.
Yep.
But I don't know if he's a player you build your team around necessarily.
I said to a mate of mine last night who's a mad Bulldog supporter, and he's obviously excited about having John Bateman come to the club. And I said, well, you've already got John Bateman there. Josh Jackson is a John Bateman. I said, mate, me personally, I'd be looking for a more damaging back rower, a line-breaking back rower, someone that's more explosive if I'm paying that type of money. But anyway, he was excited that they're getting John Bateman, and he's obviously extremely... And he did say that they've got to sign big-name players, and I realised that. But I said, you need to be just careful that you don't get stuck in a situation where 2 or 3 years' time you've paid this guy big money and then you're thinking, geez, we've paid him overs.
Laurie, the Bulldogs have got truckloads to spend. I don't think they'll have Kieran Foran to necessarily pay for next year, who's on 1.2. They sacked a couple of players. Other players will probably go as well. They've got a lot of money to spend. And I know it's very hard to prize a player away from another club as good as David Fifita, but if there was one player I'd be targeting, if I was a Bulldogs, I'd be saying to David Fifita, look, how much do you want? And I mean, he's a destructive player. He's a weapon. He's different to what they've already got, but I don't know if they can get him. But that's the player I'd be going down the path and investigating that.
Danny, does this circus at the Raiders affect, you know, who are the competition's favourites right now? How much does it affect them this year?
Look, again, that's why I think they're playing. I mean, I might be reading too much into it, but I think they've been playing it really with a lot of dignity and and a lot of respect to John Bateman is because they've got a range of English players there, and they're all mates. And I think they're playing it as well as they can. Mm. I had a chat to Ricky Stewart yesterday, and Ricky said this is not going to affect us. And you know, Laurie, you know Ricky better than any of us, and he's got a very strong mindset about this team, and he's got a very big emphasis on the culture that they've been working on, and I can't see Ricky letting it creep into the team. And then it's up to Bateman to be a professional, and more professional than his manager necessarily has been in the way he's handled the negotiations, and get things done, put it in the back drawer and just move on.
Yeah, and I think that's the way they'll want to play it. But of course, you know how the media works, Denny. Every press conference, every player that speaks, they'll be getting asked that question.
Laurie, if you were CEO of the Raiders and you were in this situation, what would you say to Bateman? What would you do? Would you say, mate, do your deal? You know, if we lose you, we lose you. I mean, what's your advice? What do you say to him?
Yeah, obviously, you'd look at the financial situation, the club, and see who you've got on contract and whether you can manoeuvre and pay him a little bit more. If you can't, you say, John, you know what? You're here till the rest of the year. We're going to release you at the end of the season. But we'd like to see this sort of finish here, right here and now. Get it over and done with as quickly as possible. Make your decision so we can move on and concentrate on trying to win the comp this year.
You pay him 800?
No, I don't pay him 800. No, I think you could scramble a little bit more for him. I think 650 would be the cutoff. But as I said before, I couldn't pay $800,000 for him. I think he's a really good player. But when I'm paying 800, I'm looking at someone a little bit different to what John's going to bring to the team. The other thing I wanted to ask you, Denny, with the NRL starting on Thursday night, do you anticipate the game to be broadcast in America, or is that being put on the back burner?
Look, I asked that of actually of Peter Volandis yesterday, and I didn't really get a clear answer. We hear a lot of talk about you know, how it's going to be this clean space for the whole world to watch, and I'd like to believe that, but I have to be honest with you, if the AFL was on and there was no rugby league on, because I'm not heavily invested in AFL, I probably wouldn't watch it. That might be a negative view or a view that a lot of other people wouldn't hold, but that's just my honest view. If I'm not invested in the sport, you know, I may watch a few minutes of it, but I think that there. I know that it'll be shown in England. I know that you can watch it on a Fox channel. I think you can watch it in America. There's another Fox channel you can watch it on, but I don't think it's going to be front and centre of American broadcasting or anything like that. I'd like to think it was.
Yeah, you'd like to think it was,
wouldn't you? Clean answer yesterday.
You could take a leaf out of Jeff Kennett's book, the Hawthorne president, who said, I'd rather do some underwater knitting than watch the NRL on Thursday night.
God,
Jeff. Not quite that bad. But
I reckon knitting. They're jealous.
That was just massive. Kennett was a massive critic of the May 28
Denny,
target.
Denny, they'd be all the criticism that's coming NRL's way, and in particular to Peter Volandis, I reckon they'd be sitting back jealous about the fact that their game is not happening this weekend.
Laurie, Peter Volandis has played the AFL of a break. He's just shown them how it should be done. They call him Go Ahead Peter or something, or Push Ahead Peter, something ridiculous. They're taking the mickey out of him consistently, and I think it's pretty low. He should just compliment the guy and say, well done. You showed the way, and thank you for that, because, you know, now we can try and do our things. And, you know, the AFL have been beaten to the punch by Volandi pretty badly. They've had to rush things through and try and get things happening now, because it would have been highly embarrassing if there was a month of NRL being played and there was nothing happening in the AFL. So give the bloke a compliment rather than rip into him, because he doesn't deserve it.
Who wins the comp in 2020, Denny?
I'm
apart from the Tigers.
Apart from the look, I think that I keep thinking the Raiders. I tend to agree with Laurie. I think the Raiders, they were good last year. They were a bit unlucky in the grand final. and they've still got a very good side this year. I've swayed between them, and I think Parramatta are going to be very good as well. I'm not really giving you a clean answer, but I'd say between the Raiders and Para, I'd say those two are going to be right up there. But Brisbane have surprised me about how good they're looking as well.
Danny, enjoy the footy. Chat to you next week.
Can't wait.